We're going to continue our legacy series. And man, hasn't it just been so incredible about what God's been speaking throughout this legacy? And, you know, it's based out of Psalm 78, verse 6, where the Bible says it'd be for future generations to come. So I'm going to pick up in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 7, then we'll jump into the rest of it here. Here's what the Bible says. It says, "Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And into an inheritance that can never perish." That deserves a good shout of praise right there. That when we as believers come to know who the Lord is, he doesn't set you up and say, "Ha, now I'm just going to take everything from you." But in fact, what he does, he says, "Now you are a part of an inheritance that this world cannot touch, cannot remove, cannot steal from you. An inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept for you in heaven, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. They have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire." I want you to catch this with me now. Did you know that your faith outweighs, is more valuable than any type of financial status that you can obtain here on earth? I'll say it again. Your faith is far more valuable than any financial status that you can achieve here on earth. For what? That this may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. To continue our legacy series, I want to minister to you a message that I've entitled, "It Just Takes One." It just takes one. Hey, would you pray with me this morning? Jesus, we're so grateful for the finished work of the cross. But Lord, we walk in here today, and some of us, Lord, we need a fresh touch of hope. We need to know, God, that you're there working with us. So God, I ask that you do what only you can do. Speak to the hearts of your sons and your daughters here in the room and online this morning. God, thank you that your word pierces deeper than bone and marrow and cuts deeper into those layers, God, because you know exactly what we need. Speak through me today, Lord, and may you provide what only you can do. Faith, hope for what your children need. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Well, on your way down, go ahead, turn to your neighbor. You can tell them it just takes one. It just takes one. Well, happy 4th of July weekend. It's good to see you in church today, and y'all got plans for your barbecues, and some of you got to work tomorrow. You know, we're sorry. Others, you got a four-day weekend, and we have been enjoying that since you've been off since last Friday. But as we've continued this series, the way I want to start here is I just want to pose a question to you, and it's pretty simple. But when it comes to legacy, over the past 8 weeks, we've been talking about legacy in this series. Come on, being battle-tested. Come on, waving our family banner. The old ways and now a new way of how to create a legacy. I just want to just pose this question for you. What does a legacy mean to you? What does a legacy mean to you? Just some application here, because it's great to hear these messages, but if we're not applying these things directly into how God wants us to live our lives, we'll just have a lot of good head information, but no heart transformation. And I believe that God is more concerned and convinced. I am convinced of this. God wants you to have a great legacy. I'll say it again. God wants you to have a great legacy. So what is a legacy to you? What is a legacy to you? Okay, yesterday my wife and I were at the beach and we're celebrating one of our high school director's birthday. And y'all better give some praise to our Alive team. Come on, we just got back from Alive summer camp. And these kids were on fire. And so every Tuesday, except this Tuesday because it's 4th of July, we're going to be hosting weekly Alive nights. These are for students, junior high and high school. And so parents, come bring your kids. You get... I'm going to stop saying free childcare, because just go on a date night, okay? Just go on a date night, okay? Have a little day or take yourself out, go unwind a little bit. But we're going to impart into them, and we're going to continue to keep that fire going and for what God did up at that mountain and continue it all summer long, because I believe these kids came back home changed, transformed, and I believe they're going to reach their friends at school. I believe they're going to reach their peers, and we're going to continue to see a revival in this generation. So every Tuesday, 6:30, except this Tuesday, we'll be here, and we'll be continuing on what God did. But we were at the beach yesterday, and as you know, you go to the ocean, you go in the water. If you are unintentional about where you are swimming, you are going to walk out of the water very confused. You're going to look around with a look of bewilderment. Where are my people at? I don't see them. The rapture. But you have to be intentional when you are swimming in the ocean, because naturally what happens is the wave comes, pulls you out. The wave comes, it pulls you out, it comes, and then you start to drift. If you are not intentional about being in the water at the ocean, you will start to unintentionally drift away from your location. Now, you go on YouTube, any short-form content, you look up, what is a legacy? What you're going to end up finding is people will tell you a legacy is something that you leave behind. While that's not incorrect, I don't think that's the legacy that God wants us to establish. I don't think that God wants us just to leave things behind. I think God wants us to impart things into people. So I'll tell you how many houses you have, how many figures are in the bank, how hard you worked. And while all those things are good, and God also wants you to have those, I don't think that's the most pertinent to God. Now, I want to give you a definition of a legacy here. Definition, okay? If you look this up on Google in Webster's Dictionary, you're not going to find it, okay? Because it's my definition. Definition of a legacy, what is it? It should be better for the next. It should be better for the next. What do I mean by that? Here's what I mean. The next generation of your children should get better. The next generation for your family should be better. The next generation should be better. It should get better. Your business should get better. Other marriages around you should be better. It should get better. Okay, I mentioned about the ocean, right? Tell you a funny story. I used to work in AC, doing market refrigeration, case installs, and some duct installs as well, too. And I remember I wanted to impress my supervisor. I was like, you know what? I'm going to show up early. Show up early. I'm going to knock this out. I'm going to make sure I get this done. And as I did, what I was doing is I was creating. I want to be intentional, man. I want to impress him. So I show up early. I look at the plans. I start throwing some pipe up, insulating some hangers. I start doing all this work. And then all of a sudden, my boss pulls up and he's like, Rodriguez, what are you doing? And he didn't sound like he had a good morning that morning. So I was like, I am working. I wanted to surprise you. He's like, well, that would have been great, except you ran the pipe the wrong way. You were supposed to run it that way. I unintentionally ran the pipe the wrong way. So, what is a legacy? What are we defining? What are we trying to get at? Number one, point one. Did you know that a legacy is built intentionally or unintentionally? Intentionally or unintentionally? Because if you are unintentional about building your legacy, your life will drift. You will operate in the wrong way. You will do things out of the wrong way as well, too. You have to be intentional about building a legacy. It does not just come by you saying, well, I have good intentions, but we're unintentional about how we carry those things out. So it should get better. Point number one, a legacy is built intentionally or unintentionally. Did you know, young people, that you are already building a legacy? Another single dating tip for you. You want to be able to build a godly legacy with your future spouse. I think that, like, if you're like, you want to have a question on a date, you should be like, number one, what type of legacy you want to build? And if that man says, let that man go. What type of legacy do you want to build? See, here's the thing. You can decide. I want to build a legacy that passes on blessing, or I'm going to pass on burdens. I want to build a legacy that breaks strongholds, or unintentionally, I'll live a life and leave a legacy that passes on strongholds. Let me say this, it's not too late or too early. It's not too late and not too early for you to start a legacy. But Pastor Tom, what type of legacy do we want to build? What type of legacy? Here's point 1A. I got 4 points, actually 5 points for you. Point 1A. The greatest legacy that you can build is a godly legacy. Is a godly legacy. Now, here's what we're not saying, okay? We're not saying don't work hard. Please, work hard. Men, work hard. Young men, work harder. Work hard. We're not saying don't have the stock portfolio. We're not saying don't have investments. We're not saying don't have assets, but have assets, not liabilities. We're not saying don't do those things, but you can unintentionally build a legacy that at the end of your life, you have so much, but so little to leave. You have left such a great inheritance, but no spiritual inheritance. I hope that at the end of my life, they say, as they're reading my eulogy, instead of saying, he left so much for his kids, they say, he left an impartation that his children will carry on about him. I think that that's the legacy that God wants us to build here today. But I want to illustrate this point here, because maybe you're like, you know, I kind of am unsure of how to create this legacy. But here's the thing is, not everyone is going to celebrate your legacy. You trying to build a godly legacy. Matter of fact, they ain't going to have a 4th of July parade for you because you decided today on July 2nd to have a godly legacy. They ain't going to light no fireworks. It's going to be the duds. Let's go light it. Psh. Got gypped. There's going to be no fireworks going out for you. In fact, there are going to be some remarks made. You think you're better than us now? I can't believe you. Gave your life to Jesus and all of a sudden, you don't do this no more. Huh? And they never forget the huh part. It's always there. Huh? It's like, no, I'm not that I'm better. It's not that I'm trying to prove anything either. It's just that I'm tired of the dysfunctionality repeating itself. I'm tired of seeing my generation succumb to what the generation before them did. But if we are not careful, we will unintentionally build a legacy that we try so hard to leave an inheritance, but it does not have a godly legacy. So I just want to illustrate this, because for some of you who are some first-time Christians, you're going to have to do some things that look a little different than the rest of those. My first-time Christian married couples, you're going to have to do some things in your marriage that don't look like what other marriages around you do. My first-time Christian families, you're going to have to raise kids a little differently than how others raise some kids. Well, back in my day, this is how I'm raising my family. I am doing biblical values for my family. We don't talk a certain way. We don't go certain places. We don't watch certain things. We don't say things like that around our kids. This is what my legacy does. Oh, you're better. I'm not better. I'm just choosing to leave a godly legacy. That's what I'm doing. So what I want to do is I want to illustrate this here, because if we are not careful about creating a godly legacy, we will unintentionally pass generational strongholds. Genesis chapter 26, here's what the Bible says. It says, now there was a famine in the land, and besides the previous famine that was in Abraham's time, and Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. Verse 6, so Isaac stayed in Gerar. When the men of that place asked him about his wife, he said, she's my sister, because he was afraid to say, she is my wife. He thought, the men of this place might kill me on account of Rebekah, because she is beautiful. Isaac, come on out. It's not really Isaac. This is Levi. For the sake of illustration purposes, this is Isaac. Now, Isaac was, you can't blame him. Isaac was just trying to live. It's like, yo, I'm just going to tell this little white lie, okay? Just a little fib, because I like my life, and I feel like God has a plan for my life, and I want to see that plan being carried out. And I know Levi wants to get married one day and wants to see that carried out with his kids. And yeah, all right. But Isaac was like, no harm, no foul, right? I like my life. I want to live a little bit. But where did Isaac get such a grand plan from? Where did Isaac think to himself, you know what? I'm going to lie to these guys. I'm going to tell them she's my sister. This way, they don't X me. I ain't trying to get canceled out here. I ain't trying to lose my life. But I'm going to try to do this. I'm just going to say, you're my sister. Well, I want to introduce you to Isaac's dad, Abraham. Genesis chapter 12. Now, there was a famine in the land. This is a different part of the Bible. This is earlier in Genesis 12. There was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, "I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife.' Then they will kill me, but let you live. Say you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you." Abraham, come on out, Abraham. Now, you may be thinking, okay, Pastor Tom, what's the point of this? But did you catch it? There was a famine. There was a lie. Then there was a cover-up. There was a trial in one generation. There was a problem that they tried to solve as best as they could. But here's the thing, because if you're unfamiliar with Genesis chapter 12, this is just after God tells Abraham, leave the land that you're at. He don't have kids yet. So how is it that Isaac says something so similar to what dad said? How is it that Isaac, without ever even being a thought, said almost the same exact thing as Abraham here? I wonder what Abraham thought when he was like, "Look, Sarai, this is what you're going to do. You're my sister. And I ain't trying to die either, okay? Trying to live my life. I like my life. God told me he's going to bless me. He told me this. I'm trying to see the blessing. I ain't trying to die before the blessing. So just be my wife." Now, culturally, back then, okay, it was valid. He had every reason. These two had every reason to say this, because back then, when another nation, they took captives the wives. They used them as slavery. They used them to use them in the village or where they were at in their palaces, and they put them either to work or they relocated them. They intermarried and they married them. So they were valid for saying, "Hey, you're going to be my sister because they won't kill me on account of you." Where did Abraham get this grand idea, though? That's what I really want to know. I want to introduce you to Abraham's dad in Genesis chapter 11. The Bible goes on and says, "Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram. And together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran." Come on out, Terah. Come on out. So maybe Abraham didn't necessarily hear Terah say to his wife, "Hey, you're going to be my sister too." But here's what I do know. Terah was supposed to go to a land that Abraham was told by God it was going to be his inheritance. Terah was supposed to lead his family out of the Ur of the Chaldeans, but decided, "You know what? I've been fighting a long time in my life. I'm just tired. This may not be Canaan. It's Haran. You know, it's okay here. It's not bad. I think I'm just going to settle here. I think that I'm just going to stay here, and this is where my family will reside." Did you know that wherever you settle in your life, you create a pathway for generations to have to fight what you settled for? Oh, I know it's 4th of July weekend. You want me to pump you up. You want me to, you know, tell me God's going to bless my legacy and prosper, and he will. Yeah. But first, maybe you've been wondering, why do I always battle with the same issue? Let me watch this. Let me help with some of the language. Well, that's just what our family has always struggled with. Well, didn't you know your dad's dad struggled with that too? See, you'll use language like, "Well, you're trying to build a godly legacy. You know, people in our family, we don't ever do that." Because we're addicts. Because we don't have marriages that last more than 10 years. Because our family is critical. Because our family is just, this is just the way that we are. This is the way that we are. I don't believe that any of God's children is the way of your family inheritance. I believe that God's children are the way of his inheritance. Now, Isaac's over here wondering, why can't I ever beat this in my life? Like, when it gets tough, why do I always resort back to this default? And Isaac's just over here like, man, I'm just a young cat, just trying to figure out life. Where did this come from? Because he didn't let this in. He didn't intentionally go and do this. But I don't think Abraham actually took into consideration, this lie can't hurt nobody. I don't even have kids yet. Hello. What is me doing this? Not married yet. No kids yet. Don't own a house yet. How could this possibly be hurting anybody? Wherever you settle, another generation has to come and fight it. I should have worn my boots this morning. So I'm trying not to hurt too much when I step on some toes here. But I do it in love. Because I'm the generation between generations. And parents, do you know what I see so much in some of our youth? I have to help disciple some of the kids out of some of the areas generations before them have settled. So I have to partner with parents. And as we partner with parents, we begin to ask the questions of, hey, tell me a little bit about your family. See, everyone comes to a point in their life where they begin to say, where did this even come from? And you may be wondering, like, why is it that our family always does that? Like, why does our family always feel the need to have to get drunk all the time? Why do we feel the need that our family always has to be drama every party? Why do we feel the need that our family always has to have the last word? Why do we feel the need that our family just always has to do that? You can be intentional about building a legacy or unintentional about building a legacy. See, I don't think Terah, when he went to Haran, I don't think he was like, man, forget Isaac. He didn't know Isaac. Isaac was two generations away from him. Isaac would have been his grandson, but Terah died. Where are you settling right now? What area have you just said, God, I feel like I'm okay? Because Terah had good intentions. I'm going to take my family out of this place. My family don't deserve this. But I'm tired. I've been fighting. It's been hard. It's been challenging. We've been doing so much. So Terah decides to settle. Wherever you settle, another generation is going to have to pick up and fight. And there may be things that weren't passed on to you because Terah settled, Abraham lied, Isaac lied. But it may not always be the same, but it will be familiar. I don't think Terah's thoughts were, I want to purposely pass this stronghold on to my family. I don't think Terah was sitting there one day, scrolling through Instagram, getting ready to post on Facebook, about to mess up my kids. Send, click, replying to all the comments. Say what? Say less. Valid. You do that, you go, Terah. Tell them who's boss. Where are you settling at? Where have you taken the foot off the pedal for just a little bit and said, Lord, I'm tired. I've been fighting. God, we've been trying to honor you, Lord. It just gets hard. I've always kind of had a legacy perspective, but I can be honest with you, it really didn't start to level up until our son was born. And that's when I really began to focus in and say, what areas in my life, God, do you need to work on? So instead of me passing on a stronghold to him, instead of me not overcoming something in my life that now my son or my future kids will have to, God, I can take down. This is where the enemy will try and bait you. So, well, your dad was just like that. Your mom was no better than that. Your grandpa, he did the same thing. This is why all the men in your family are like that. This is why all the women in your family are like that. And there's just something inside of you that when it's said like that, it's like, ugh. Because you're like, but I don't want to be like this. I don't want to repeat what was passed on to me. So what are your defaults? What do I mean by that? What do you resort back to when times get hard? Because Isaac was in a famine. I'll just tell a little lie. Abraham was in a famine. I'll just tell a little lie. Terah was moving, and moving ain't fun. I don't know if you've had to move before, but I'll tell you what. Summertime, do not. So, hey, can you help me? No, click, I got food. I'll be on the way. All right. But what does the devil try and get you to go back to when times get tough, when things get a little hard? What does he try and get you to resort back to? So the enemy will put you in a place at times. He says, what are you gonna do? Are you going to decide that this is what your godly legacy does? Or you can do what the rest of your family has done. They all like to run away. They all like to, when push comes to shove, they don't show up. When it gets really tough, they back down and they give in. So point number two, the defaults of a legacy-minded person still honors God. What do I mean by that? That just because it happened in a generation before me does not mean that I have to repeat what they did. Just because something came to me my way and I may want to naturally want to go that way and slap somebody, I want to still be a man of God. That just because I'm choosing to do and live a legacy that is godly, that honors him, you know what? Back then, 6 months ago, you would have caught me? Maybe. But today, I'm choosing a godly legacy. Today, what I'm going to do is, you know what? I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to talk to my Savior about you. Not a bad way. But the enemy will try and bait you. He'll try and get you to say, but they did it. Don't you want to just be like generations before you? I'll tell you this. As much as there are stories in the Bible about people whose legacies fell through, there are so many more about people, one person that changed the legacy of their family forever. I could tell you about Joseph, whose family betrayed him. His brothers threw him in a pit to die because he was a dreamer, because he had big dreams. Let me talk to somebody who's got some dreams in your life. If you're around people and they deflate your dream, that's the wrong group to be around. You got to be around people that instead of deflate, speak faith into that dream. Say, you know what? Yeah, God can use you to do that. God can use you to build that business. God can do that to speak into your marriage. God can do that to heal your family. So because of Joseph, at the end of his life, his whole family ends up being saved. I can talk to you about David, who, when David was overlooked, when the prophet came and came to anoint the son that would be next king of Israel, he was out in the sheep field, tending sheep. His dad didn't want him to be around. Let me talk to the people who feel overlooked this morning. You're right where God wants you to be. You're not overlooked. Your Heavenly Father sees you. He knows what you're doing. He sees what you're doing. He sees the legacy that you're trying to create for your family. I could talk to you about Nehemiah. Nehemiah was just so fed up with what the brokenness that was going on in the nation of Israel that instead of going to Facebook, instead of going to Instagram, instead of going to Twitter and just saying, man, this place is all jacked up. We got to get someone new in the government. We got to do all this. Instead of doing that, he went to the prayer room and he said, God, if you would give me a plan, if you would give me a strategy, if, Lord, if you would just use me, I will do what you're asking the nation to do. I'm just wondering if there's anybody that's in this room that's just saying, you know what? I ain't gonna post about this one. I ain't gonna tweet about this one. I'm gonna go in the prayer room and I'm gonna ask God to give me a revelation of how to take this stronghold down. I'm gonna go and I'm gonna ask God, saying, you know what, Lord? If you would just use me, you can use my life to break the generational patterns that have been passed down to me. So what am I trying to say? Point number three, it just takes one individual to change a legacy. Oh, can I talk to you about the greatest individual that came to change legacies for all of us? Jesus. Did you know that Jesus came? He lived a perfect, sinless life, something that you and I would never be able to do, that because of one man's obedience, all of us in this room and listening online now has access back to the Father. What does that mean? That means that I don't have to go try and doing being perfect. That means I don't have to go and try and force my way into having a relationship with God. That means I can still be broken, messed up, still need some redemption in my life, still need a little bit of Jesus in my life to get to where God has called me to do. I don't have to be perfect because he's perfect. I don't have to live perfect because he's perfect. All I have to do is step into the grace that he's provided for me in my life. So it just takes one individual to change a legacy. So let me talk about you. Do you know the ramifications of your obedience to God? Do you know how many generations will be blessed because you decided to say, you know what? Sick and tired of being sick and tired already. Man, everybody messed up. Except me. I ain't gonna be messed up no more. Where are my ones at that just decided, you know what? I don't wanna do marriage that way no more. You know what? I don't wanna have to go to the parties and get drunk no more. You know what? I don't wanna have to talk this way to my children more. You know what? I don't want to have to raise a family like this more. Come on, where are the ones that decided to take a stand and say, you know what? I'm going to build a godly legacy. I'm tired of being pushed down. I'm tired of saying, you know what? Do you know how many generations will be blessed because you just decide to say, God, I'll take a stand. God, I'll decide today to build a godly legacy. Did you know building a godly legacy, you don't got to be perfect? You know, when you submit your resume, all it says is covered by the blood. You don't have to say, I graduated from Harvard. If you did, shouts to you. Meet me after service. You don't have to have your stock portfolio right there when you give your life to Jesus. All you just have to say is, Jesus, I am hurting, I am broken, but God, if you could use my life to break strongholds in my family so I can point people back to you, God, I don't know what may come, I don't know what may go, but here's what I do know is generation upon generation will be walking in your blessing because of your obedience. I don't want my kids to have to go through what I went through. I don't want my kids' kids to have to go with what I went through. I want every generation to be better. Parents, your kids' floor, that should be, their floor should be your ceiling. We should always be able to say, you know what? I hope you go further, faster. Nah, I don't want them to be spoiled. I want them to have to work for it. Look, I'm not trying to say don't have your kids work for it. Please have them work for it. But what are you leaving behind in them? What type of legacy are you developing in them? I don't have kids yet. Well, you missed what I said earlier. You don't have to have kids to have a legacy started. I ain't married. You don't have to build your legacy with someone married right now. In fact, how do I know who I should marry, Pastor Tom? What does your legacy look like and what does their look like? And guess what? If they say, oh, I don't got a legacy. Neither do we. Bye. Real talk. Y'all shouldn't be messing around with people that ain't trying to build godly legacies. I don't want to repeat strongholds. I want to break them. In fact, question number two on the date. Tell me, are you going to help me break strongholds or are you going to help me build strongholds? I want to break these things. I don't want to be another addict. I don't want to be another alcoholic. I don't want to be another statistic. I don't want to be another stereotype. I want to build a godly legacy. Newsflash, God don't want you to live in poverty either. If I give my life to Jesus, that just means he's going to take everything away. No, he's going to take all the things away that you built that he wants to build in you. That's what's scary about this. Let me just, right there. I remember I gave my life to Jesus. I'm like, I ain't going to have no more fun anymore. It's all gone. That's it. There went all my fun. 22. I should be out wilding out. I'm at church on Friday night. What I didn't realize, what God was doing then, was developing the legacy that I would one day build into now and to come. But do you know what happened? As I realized, oh, shnikes, there's some things I got to work on. I've realized that there's some things that have been passed on to me that I got to break. There are some things that God needs to do some deep surgical work in my life right now that I got to break. So what are your defaults? What is the enemy trying to get you to go back to? Because he's going to be real good at that when you try and build a godly legacy. Do you think the enemy wants you to build a godly legacy? Oh, have at it. Break every stronghold that's been in your family's lineage. No. He's trying to keep your whole family stuck because he knows if you get free, the whole family gets saved. He knows your future marriage will be changed. Your future family will be changed. He knows. So it just takes one. Turn to your neighbor and tell him it just takes one. That's all it takes. It just takes one person to change the legacy. So when the devil comes and he tries to bait you, when things get hard, when life gets a little difficult at times, when things start going ways that you did not imagine, don't go to your natural default. Isaac over here asking himself, why do I have to feel like I have to build a life telling lies? Where did this come from? Abraham's like, man, things really messed up around here. I'll just go lie again. Maybe you're here this morning and you're like, I don't even know how we ended up here. I don't know like how I got to this point in my life. I just know that I've had to fight really hard to get here. We're not saying don't fight. We're not saying don't work hard. But what we are saying is there's going to come a point that you have to make a decision for your legacy. Will I repeat or will I break through? What type of legacy do you want? A legacy that's intentional about working through, being godly, honoring the Lord. Because newsflash, some of you, this weekend, tomorrow, if you're not working, Tuesday, oh, you think you're better than us, huh? That's what it is, you're better than us, huh? Why you even come? Like, why? It's like, it's free food, that's why. What do you mean? Student pastor, so free food. I won't forget the time when I was, again, just gave my life to Christ. And I went to my friend's sister's graduation party just to support. They're all drinking. Like, hey, you're not drinking? Nah, I'm good, man. What's the matter with you? Nothing. What do you mean, what's the matter? Do I have a stain on my shirt? What are you talking about? What's the matter with me? Oh, you're better than us, huh, now? Because you start going to church all of a sudden. Huh, Mr. Christian? No, I've just realized how broken I was. But see, you can't talk like that to them. Because then they think you're weird. So I'm just trying out here to break strongholds, yo. And it's like, are you high? Like, high off the most high. And it's like, this guy's in a cult. Don't go to that church anymore. But I remember I'm there, and my buddy's like, he's my best friend in high school. I was like, so you're really doing this thing, huh? I'm like, yeah. He's like, you want a beer? I'm like, no. He's like, I said, you want a beer? And I'm like, I said, no, I'm good. He's like, okay. So you're really doing this church thing, huh? And I'm like, for the fourth time, yes. Yes, I am. Yes, thank you, yes. Fifth time, yes, just in case you ask me again. But I'm there, and I'm talking to him, and I'm like, you know, man, like, it's hard to really explain. I can't really explain too much, but I just know, man, like, God's been working in my life. And he's like, so you can baptize, huh? I said, oh, so you are paying attention. They're listening. They're listening. They're watching. They're just seeing how you respond. They're listening. They're paying attention. And I was like, yeah, man, actually, this weekend, I'm gonna get baptized. You know, I feel like God's been doing a lot in my life. And I said, what are you waiting for? There was a pool there. So I thought, oh, maybe he just wants to be a good best friend. He goes, I'll baptize you right now. And he had a beer in his hand. He's like, come here, I'll baptize you with this beer. And it was at that moment that I knew, what legacy am I trying to build? You want to build a godly legacy, it's going to cost you some things. It's going to cost you some tough choices. You can't do marriage the same way other people do marriage, Christian marriages. You can't raise kids the same way other people raise kids, Christian families. You can't do business the way other people do business, Christian business owners. But did you know that God will still bless when you honor him? Here's what the devil is trying to do to you and I. He's trying to get you to go back to our natural settings. So this is why sometimes you'll use language like, well, my family's just always done it like that when times have gotten hard. It's just what we know how to do. But there's a new factory setting in you. Yeah, there's a new setting that came inside of you. See, the devil will try and bait you to take the trap. That when things get tough in your life, when metaphorical famines come, when life starts to hit, you'll hear that little voice. You're just like your dad. Yeah, you'll never be better than your mom. You're the exact same way. And that little voice will get you to start saying, God, is it even worth it anymore? God, I've been trying to build a godly legacy, and I'm not seeing anything. I'm not seeing how this is going to work. I'm not seeing how this makes sense. I've been struggling with the same thing. I've been going time and time. I've been going to church on Sundays. I even went for July weekend, God. Lord, I'm still battling this. What's your default? What do you go back to? What does the devil try and tell you? This is what your family does. It just takes one individual that says, you know what? Sit. That's it. Me and my family, this is what we do. And I've been setting you up this whole time. Sorry. But when the devil comes and he tries to test you, he tests things that he knows are about to get their breakthrough. It's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. The Bible goes on. It says, in all this, greatly rejoice. See, you rejoice when you said, yeah, we want to build a godly legacy. Woo, woo. But though now for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. And this is where the enemy will come and he'll say, how's that godly legacy going for you? Oh. Do you want to tap out now or later? Or like in a little bit? Or like just very soon? You let me know because I'm right here. I got the stop button. You can hit stop anytime you want. And you can go back to exactly the same things that your family's been doing that the generations before you decided to not break. But it says, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. I came to tell some people this morning, a godly legacy does not mean you will never go through something. A godly legacy does not mean that you have to plan to be perfect. A godly legacy does not mean I have to have everything figured out. A godly legacy is just this. I'm decided to take a stand to draw a line in the sand. As for me and my house, you know what? I'm not going to bow down to these patterns anymore. I'm going to break strongholds. I'm going to decide, you know what? If it came to me, then it's done. If it came my way, then it's over. I'm not going to give in. In fact, when temptation comes, I'm going to reach out to somebody and I'm going to say, hey, can you pray for me? Oh, no, they gossip. People like you and your family, they don't do that. No, no, no. See, I have a reformed mind. God, you're going to renew my mind. You're going to renew my mind, Lord. You're going to help me to trust people. You're going to help me, Lord, to go to a connect group, to open up so people can pour into my life. God, I'm going to jump into Grow Track because I need to get around people, Lord, that can help me take that step in my walk with Jesus. What are you trying to build? Now, all of us, of course, our intentions, we want to build good things. But if you are unintentional, you will drift. It just takes one. It's point number four. Because your legacy will be tested. Your godly legacy is going to be tried. But here's the good news. Point number four, a godly legacy is tested, is tried, and true. A godly legacy is tested, is tried, and true. Can I tell you this? If you're being tested, that's a good thing. Pastor Tom, what do you mean? If you weren't a threat, our marriage has been going through all this. Our family has had all these doctor's reports. Man, ever since we started going to church and wanting to build a legacy, our kids have been tested. You're tried. That means you're true. So God's like, that's a godly legacy. Because just as much as they remove the impurities out of the gold in the fire, God says, put them in the fire. We're going to see if they go back to the default setting. And we're going to see who they choose. But can I tell you this? God does not set you up to make you fail. God removes the impurities in your legacy. So every time you're tested and every time you're saying, man, I want to go back, God's like, I'm just removing the impurities that are in your legacy. Because see, you don't want your son to have to deal with this right now. You don't want your future marriage to have to deal with this right now. I'm just wondering, do I have any people that are in here today that are saying, I am so grateful for choosing a godly legacy. I will be tested, I will be tried, and because I will be found true. Would you stand on your feet with me this morning as we come to a close? Thank you guys so much.